Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond
and Jim White
from the Legion of Mary in St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America. Today is December 14, 2018. Last Wednesday, December 12, was the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and last December 9 was the feast day of Juan Diego. Before the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we will talk about these feast days. And after the chaplet, we will pray the novena for priests. Jim?
From Our Lady of Guadalupe from Catholic Online. An elder Mexican man makes his way to Mass in the early morning twilight of December the 9th, 1531. He is a peasant, a simple farmer and laborer, and he has no education. Born under Aztec rule, he is a convert to Catholicism, and each step he takes this morning is a step into history. The morning quiet is broken by a strange music that he will later describe as the beautiful sound of birds. Diverting his path to investigate the sound, Juan Diego comes face to face with a radiant apparition of the Virgin Mary. Juan Diego is 57 years old. He was just encountered by the Virgin Mary of Tepeyac Hill, the site of a former Aztec temple. His wife has died 2 years earlier, and he lives with his elder uncle, scratching his living from the earth as a humble peasant farmer. Now, why should this unlearned man be chosen by Our Lady to carry a message to the bishop? Perhaps because she would find none other as humble as Juan Diego. Juan Diego is dazzled by the incredible beauty and miraculous nature of Our Lady's appearance. She appears as a native princess to him, and her words sound more beautiful than the sweetest music ever made. Our Lady calms the startled traveler and assures him of whom she is. She instructs Juan Diego to visit his bishop and ask that a temple be built on the site of her appearance, so that she will have a place to hear petitions and to heal the suffering of the Mexican people.
Now go and put forth your best effort,
Our Lady instructs. Visibly shaken, Juan Diego approaches the bishop, who is initially skeptical of his account. What did this peasant truly want? Does he merely seek attention, notoriety, money, or is he possessed by demons? Has Juan Diego been tricked by the devil? The bishop patiently listens to Juan Diego's accounts and dismisses him. The humble farmer has failed. Juan Diego begins to doubt himself. He returns to Tepeyac Hill, where he hopes for some confirmation of what he's experienced. Indeed, Our Lady does not disappoint, for she appears again, as radiant as before. Juan Diego tells her, Our Lady, what she already knows, that the bishop did not believe him. She instructs him to return the next morning and ask again. The bishop is beside himself. Why did this peasant insist on telling this story? How could he know if a peasant was lying or perhaps insane? At their second meeting, the bishop asks for a sign. Juan Diego makes a promise he won't keep, saying he will return the next morning with a sign from Our Lady. But that evening, Juan Diego returns home to find his uncle, Juan Benedino, who is 68 years old, suddenly terribly ill. The illness is known to the people there, and it brings a burning fever so hot it's almost always fatal. Juan Diego cannot leave his uncle's bedside to keep his pledge to the bishop. He spends 2 days with his uncle trying to save him. When it becomes apparent his uncle is about to die, he leaves to find a priest who can prepare him for death. Frightened and saddened, Juan Diego sets off in a great hurry. Time is running out, and Juan Diego is afraid his uncle will die without last confession. On the road, in his way, Our Lady appears for a third time. Upset and afraid, Juan explains himself. Our Lady replies,
"Am I not your mother? Are you not in the crossing of my arms?"
she asks. Shamed by the astonished admonition, she, emboldened by Our Lady's presence, Juan Diego asks for the sign he promised to the bishop. He knows he is wrong to doubt Our Lady. Juan Diego is instructed to climb to the top of Tepeyac Hill, where he will find flowers. He is to pick the flowers there, which are unlikely any has seen before, and he is to keep them hidden in his tilma until he reaches the bishop. Juan Diego was skeptical again. It's December. What flowers could grow on the summit of the hill in this cold? Nevertheless, he obeys. At the top of the hill, he finds a great number of flowering roses, which he picks and hastily gathers into his cloak. For the third time, Juan Diego is ushered in to see the bishop. The skeptical cleric has waited for 2 days to see what sign Our Lady has for him. Juan opens his tilma, letting the roses cascade to the floor. But more than the roses, both men are astonished to see what is painted on his humble tilma, an exquisite image of Our Lady. In the image, she stands as she appeared, a native princess with high cheekbones. Her head is bowed and her hands are folded in prayer to God. On her blue cloak, the stars are arranged as they appeared in the morning darkness at the hour of her first apparition. Under her feet is a great crescent moon, a symbol of the old Aztec religion. The message is clear. She is more powerful than the Aztec gods, yet she herself is not God. At the same time, Our Lady is appearing to Juan Diego and directing him to cut the flowers on Tepeyac Hill, she also appears to his uncle, Juan Bernardino, who believes he is about to die. As soon as she appears, the fever stops, and Juan Bernardino feels well again. She tells Juan Bernardino what she wants to be known, that she wants to be known, Santa Maria de Guadalupe, Our Lady of Guadalupe, did not appear again, for her mission was complete. The temple was built and remains there today in what is now a suburb of Mexico City. Juan Diego's tilma, woven from cactus fibers, with a shelf life of about 30 years at best, remains miraculously preserved. The symbolism of Our Lady's dress is obvious to over 8 million native Mexicans, whom all speak different languages. She is brighter than the sun, more powerful than any Aztec god, yet she is not a god herself, and she prays to one greater than her. Her gown is adorned with stars in the correct position as in the night sky, and the gold fringe of her cloak mirrors the surrounding countryside. Millions of natives will convert at the news of what has happened. Millions more will make pilgrimages over the next 5 centuries to see the miraculous tilma and to honor Our Lady of Guadalupe. Great miracles continue to occur even today. On October the 12th, 1945, Pope Pius XII decreed Our Lady of Guadalupe to be patroness of all the Americas. Her feast day is December the 12th, and it is a holy day of obligation in Mexico. Our Lady of Guadalupe had this to say to Juan Diego.
Known for certain, least of my sons, that I am the perfect and perpetual Virgin Mary, Mother of the true God, through whom everything lives, the Lord of all things, near and far, the Master of heaven and earth. It is my earnest wish that a temple be built here to my honor. Here I will demonstrate, I will exhibit, I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to the people. I am your merciful mother, the merciful mother of all of you who live united in this land, and of all mankind, of all those who love me, of those who cry to me, of those who seek me, of those who have confidence in me. Here I will hear their weeping, their sorrow, and will remedy and alleviate all their multiple sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. We will also talk about Saint Juan Diego, and this is also from Catholic Online, and please pardon us if some of these are a repeat of what we have just narrated about Our Lady of Guadalupe. Saint Juan Diego was born in 1474 as Cuatlatozin, a native to Mexico. He became the first Roman Catholic indigenous saint from the Americas. Following the early death of his father, Juan Diego was taken to live with his uncle. From the age of 3, he was raised in line with the Aztec pagan religion, but always showed signs of having a mystical sense of life. He was recognized for his religious fervor, his respectful and gracious attitude toward the Virgin Mary, and his bishop Juan de Zumarraga, and his undying love for his ill uncle. When a group of 12 Franciscan missionaries arrived in Mexico in 1524, he and his wife Maria Lucia converted to Catholicism and were among the first to be baptized in the region. Juan Diego was very committed to his new life and would walk long distances to receive religious instruction at the Franciscan mission station at Tlatelolco. On December 9, 1531, Juan Diego was in a hurry to make it to Mass and celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. However, he was stopped by the beautiful sight of a radiant woman who introduced herself in his native tongue as the ever-perfect Holy Mary, who has the honor to be the mother of the true God. Mary told Juan Diego she was the mother of all those who lived in his land and asked him to make a request to the local bishop. She wanted them to build a chapel in her honor there on Tepeyac Hill, which was the site of a former pagan temple. When Juan Diego approached Bishop Juan de Zumarraga, telling of what happened, he was presented with doubts and was told to give the bishop time to reflect on the news. Later the same day, Juan Diego encountered the Virgin Mary a second time and told her he failed in granting her request. He tried to explain to her he was not an important person and therefore not the one for the task, but she insisted he was the man she wanted. Juan Diego returned to the bishop the next day and repeated his request, but now the bishop asked for a proof or a sign the apparition was real and truly of heaven. Juan Diego went straight to Tepeyac and once again encountered the Virgin Mary. After explaining to her what the bishop asked, She agreed and told him she'd provide him with proof on the next day, December 11. However, on the next day, Juan Diego's uncle became very sick, and he was obligated to stay and care for him. Juan Diego set out the next to find a priest for his uncle. He was determined to get there quickly and didn't want to face the Virgin Mary with shame for missing the previous day's meeting. But the Virgin Mary intercepted him and asked what was wrong. He explained his situation and promised to return after he found his uncle a priest. She looked at him and asked, "No estoy yo aquí que soy tu madre? Am I not here, I who am your mother?" Excuse me. She promised him his uncle would be cured and asked him to climb to the hill. And collect the flowers growing there. He obeyed and found many flowers blooming in December on the rocky land. He filled his tilma, cloak, with flowers and returned to Mary. The Virgin Mary arranged the flowers within his cloak and told him this would be the sign he is to present to the bishop. Once Juan Diego found the bishop, he opened his cloak, and the bishop was presented with the miraculous imprinted image of the Virgin Mary on the flower-filled cloak. The next day, Juan Diego found his uncle fully healed from his illness. His uncle explained he too saw the Virgin Mary. She also instructed him on her desires to have a church built on Tepeyac Hill. But she also told him she wanted to be known with the title of Guadalupe. News of Juan Diego's miracle quickly spread, and he became very well known. However, Juan Diego always remained a humble man. The bishop first kept Juan Diego's imprinted cloak in his private chapel, but then placed it on public display in the church built on Tepeyac Hill the next year. The first miracle surrounding the cloak occurred during the procession to Tepeyac Hill, when a participant was shot in the throat by an arrow shot in celebration. After being placed in front of the miraculous image of Mary, the man was healed. Juan Diego moved into a little hermitage in Tepeyac Hill and lived a solidarity life of prayer and work. He remained there until his death on December 9, 1548, 17 years after the first apparition. News of Our Lady's apparitions caused a wave of nearly 3,000 Indians a day to convert to the Christian faith. Details of Juan Diego's experience and Mary's words moved them deeply. During the revolutions in Mexico, at the beginning of the 20th century, non-believers attempted to destroy the image with an explosion. The altar's marble steps, the flower holders, and the basilica windows were all very damaged, but the pane of glass protecting the image was not even cracked. Juan Diego's imprinted cloak has remained perfectly preserved from 1531 to present time. The Basilica of Guadalupe on Tepeyac Hill has become one of the world's most visited Catholic shrines. Saint Juan Diego was beatified on May 6, 1990 by Pope John Paul II and canonized on July 31, 2002. His feast day is celebrated on December 9, and he is the patron saint of indigenous people.
Welcome to the Hour of Great Mercy, brought to you by the Legion of Mary Immaculate Conception Presidium here at St. Mary the Assumption in Hockessin, Delaware. to the history of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. In 1935, St. Faustina received a vision of an angel sent by God to chastise a certain city. She began to pray for mercy, but her prayers were powerless. Suddenly, she saw the Holy Trinity and felt the power of Jesus' grace within her. Then she found herself pleading with God for mercy with the words she heard interiorly.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us.
As she continued saying this inspired prayer, the angel became helpless and could not carry out the deserved punishment. The next day, as she was entering the chapel, she again heard this interior voice, instructing her now to recite the prayer that the Lord later called the Chaplet. This time, after "Have mercy on us," were added the words, "and the whole world." From then on, she recited this form of prayer almost constantly, offering it especially for the dying. In subsequent revelations, the Lord made it clear that the chaplet was not just for her, but for the whole world. He also attached extraordinary promises to its recitation. Encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. When they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as the just judge, but as the merciful Savior. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation, even if there were a sinner most hardened. If he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Through the chaplet, you will obtain everything if what you ask for is compatible with my will. Prayed on ordinary rosary beads, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy is an intercessory prayer that extends the offering of the Eucharist, so it is especially appropriate to use it after having received Holy Communion at Holy Mass. It may be said at any time, but our Lord specifically told St. Faustina to recite it during the 9 days before the Feast of Mercy, the first Sunday after Easter. He then added, "By this novena of chaplets, I will grant every possible grace to souls." It is likewise appropriate to pray the chaplet during the Hour of Great Mercy, 3 o'clock each afternoon, recalling the time of Christ's death on the cross. In his revelations to St. Faustina, our Lord asked for a special remembrance of his passion at that hour. Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now pray the prayer for priests from St. Faustina. Oh, my Jesus, I beg you, on behalf of the whole Church, give us holy priests. You yourself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of your mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of your mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests, for you can do all things. Novena for priests. Jesus, Good Shepherd, you sent us the Holy Spirit to guide your Church and lead her faithful to you through the ministry of your priests. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, grant to your priests wisdom in leading, faithfulness in teaching, and holiness in guarding your sacred mysteries.
as they cry out with all the faithful, Abba, Father. May your priests be ever more closely identified with you in your divine sonship and offer their own lives with you, the one saving victim. Make them helpful brothers of one another and understanding fathers of all your people. Renew in your priests deeper faith, greater trust in you, childlike reliance on our Mother Mary, and unwavering fidelity to the Holy Father and his bishops. Holy Mary, intercede for your priests. Saint Joseph, protect them. Saint Michael, defend them. Saint John Vianney, pray for them. Thank you for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. That's legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Dillingham, pastor of St. Mary the Assumption Catholic Church, Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America. Tony McGinley of Aramis Communications. A.J. Laporto, who provided the music. The members of the Legion of Mary, Immaculate Conception Presidium. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m.